So if you could welcome our lead pastor, Joe Source.
Thank you, Pastor Matt. Thank you, everybody. I'm glad that you're here this morning.
Amen.
This is very important.
Amen.
I believe this is an extremely important series, depending on the season that we're in, or because of the season that we're in, I should say. A season of preparation. Say, well, what are we preparing for? I don't really know 100%, to be honest with you, but I know there's something. We're living in a world right now where even people that don't know God understand that something's up. They can sense that there's something coming. There's something serious on the horizon. And for us, as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, his representatives on the earth, we should be more in tune to the Spirit of God as far as what season we're in. We're living in a time when we need to make available to every individual possible the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that our sins have been already forgiven. There's nothing holding us back from having a relationship with God Almighty. Now, that could be a complete game changer for someone who has been raised all their life to think that God is mad at them. Are you listening? It's an important thing right now. We need to use every resource that we have. We need to take every opportunity that God gives us to reach out to people, especially those that are around us. We have this tendency to think that the people around us, you know, like they're going to get saved by osmosis. It doesn't happen that way. Even in families, well, my dad was saved, my grandfather was saved. No, God doesn't have any grandchildren. God only has children. Every generation has to come to Christ on their own. We don't get saved because we were raised in a Christian household. That might help it. In some cases, it may hinder it. Many of us know individuals. When individuals are born and raised in a Christian home, sometimes they don't have the appreciation of those who just came out of the world, had no Christian background, no real, true, saved background. And so we need to be aware of that. And so what am I saying? I feel like I'm just blurting out. What I'm trying to get to here is this. This message right now of repentance is extremely important in this season of the church.
Amen. Amen.
Extremely important, because we don't change unless we repent.
Amen.
And we don't repent unless we're willing to change.
Amen.
Somebody should write that one down.
Amen.
There's no repentance without change. There has to be change. That's the whole meaning of repentance. You see, this dawned on me last night in the service. And I'll get into this, and we'll do a real quick review, and then we'll get into the new material that we need to cover this weekend. How many of you come from a Catholic background? Don't be, we all been there for the most part. How many of you were not? You guys don't know how good you got it. Okay, and let me tell you, for this reason alone, don't go, here's the reason. Because Catholic doctrine confuses repentance with punishment. Okay, we mix up repentance with punishment. Biblical repentance is a change of mind which leads to a change of heart. We got this mindset that if you were going to take communion on Sunday morning, on Saturday you had to go to the church, go to that little room, that little box there, sit behind a screen with somebody, you know he's there, but you don't know which one it is, okay, until they open their mouth and maybe you recognize their voice. As you sit there, and most of the time, let's be honest with each other, we sinned while we were going to get rid of our sins. Because you made up a whole bunch of things. I did this. I wasn't. You didn't want to tell the priest what you really did. So what you did was you told him I was disrespectful to my mom. Yes, who knows what I'm talking about? So now watch this now. Now, that confession thing was meant to bring us to repentance. But what did it bring us to? It didn't bring us to a change of mind. It brought us to a place of, okay, I got rid of my stuff that I did up until this point, so tomorrow morning I can come and take communion. There was no sense of, okay, this is happening so that you can effect change in your heart. And so what is the last thing the priest would tell us? All right, I want you to give me 10 Our Fathers, 16 Hail Marys, throw in a couple of Glory Be to Gods, light a few candles. So what did we see? We didn't see it as an opportunity to change. We saw it as punishment. And so that we brought that into our biblical Christian experience mixing up repentance with punishment. That's why people, when you say the word repentance, they get like, oh, you're condemning me. No. God doesn't condemn us. When the Holy Spirit is drawing us to repentance, to a change of mind so that we can change our heart, he's giving us another chance to grow further in our relationship with our Father in heaven.
Yes.
All right, plus it gives us the opportunity for our souls to change. Because maybe, and of course, no, this doesn't apply to any of us in here today, but you might know somebody who their personality, their character, their nature, just the way they live, is aggravating the blank out of everybody around them.
Amen.
Do you know anybody like that? See, your spirit doesn't bother me. My spirit shouldn't bother you.
Amen.
But there might be stuff in your soul that is causing aggravation to somebody else in your life.
Amen.
Your own soul can cause you grief and aggravation.
Amen.
Okay, because we're going to see this, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, because we're going to see this in a little bit, that there's areas of our soul that we need to repent of so that we can experience healing.
Amen.
When I say repent, I'm not talking about, you know, you're going to beat yourself, or you're going to, you know, I'm going to do without food for a week. Or, no, I'm not. Those are just carnal, fleshly religious things. I'm talking about repentance as being a willingness to receive information in our intellect so that we can change our perspective about something.
Amen.
That's repentance. It's you can't have that unless you're willing to understand or willing to take in what the Word of God says.
Yes.
That might be contrary to what your conduct is. So then you don't change the Word of God, which our society is trying to do, to match so we don't have to change our souls. You change your mind so that it matches and lines up with and is in agreement with what the Word of God says.
Amen.
Are you getting this?
Yes.
This is, I'm telling you, I've been saved for almost 40 years now, and I'm learning stuff about repentance that I've never seen before in all these four decades. It's our friend. Repentance is not meant to embarrass anybody. Repentance is not meant, when the Holy Ghost is dealing with you, the very best thing you could do is give yourself over to the Holy Spirit and say, whatever you have to do in my life to change. I don't want to stay like this. I don't like this part of my personality. I don't like that, you know, I don't like the fact that I might be reflecting the generations in my family before me. Not that I'm, you know, I don't want to dishonor them, but, you know, they lived and they did the best they could, but we could do better.
Amen.
Okay? All right, you got this?
Yes.
All right, so, good. I'm going to be able to move a lot quicker now this morning. So again, let's talk about this. We're coming to the point of we want to be able to prepare ourselves because we want to experience real victory.
Amen.
This year for Easter, for resurrection. What is it, 3 weeks from today?
Yeah.
3 weeks or 2 weeks? Three weeks, okay? You see, I don't think we really grasp the reality of what took place at the cross until you grasp the reality of what took place in the tomb. Okay, it's in the tomb that he won the victory for us.
Amen.
On the cross, he paid for our sins. He was a sacrifice. It's the same thing as if they took a lamb, slaughtered it, poured its blood out. That's what Jesus did on the cross. And thank God for that. Okay, because we could not experience the resurrection power if it were not first for the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world.
Amen.
You getting this?
Yes.
And you know, sometimes we hesitate to talk about these things because I don't want to assume that everybody knows what we're talking about. And so please, if you ever hear and you hear me talking about stuff and you have that temptation, oh, we know this already. Oh, this is boring. Yeah, but it might be boring for you, or maybe you heard it 100 times. Maybe you learned this and got this revelation 50 years ago. But there might be somebody sitting next to you that's hearing that for the first time.
Amen.
You listening to me?
Yes.
Jesus died on the cross so that you and I could come back in relationship with God the Father. If he did not die on the cross for us, we would all be eternally lost.
Amen.
Lost, lost. We would die in our sins with no hope whatsoever of having everlasting life.
Amen.
Now, let me qualify that. And I feel like I need to cover some basic stuff here this morning. we all live forever.
Amen.
Now, that's all you're talking to us as Christians. No, no. I'm talking to us as human beings. Every human that's ever been conceived lives forever. It's only a matter of where they're living forever. Nobody is extinguished. No one ceases to exist. This is the nightmare of the individual that ends up in hell. Okay? I know it's been pretty serious here these past couple weeks, but we need this. We need to snap back into reality once in a while. Maybe that would give us the urgency to reach somebody that we know, if they don't receive Christ, they're going to hell, and they're going to be there forever and ever and ever and ever. We have a responsibility to pray for people. We have a responsibility to reach out to people. We have a responsibility to remove the obstacles from before anyone's path that would cause them to not come to Christ. And if that means that you have to forgive the person, if that means that you have to love the person, even though you want to go for their jugular vein, whatever, if that's what it's going to take for that person to be free to receive Christ, you may have to pray for God to bring somebody else in their life, because maybe your relationship with that individual is so damaged, they're never going to listen to you.
That's right.
But what's important, that they listen to you or that they end up in heaven? I'm talking to somebody right now,
Amen.
Probably a few people,
Amen.
Okay? They don't need to hear from you personally. They need to hear from him. So you may need to pray, God, bring somebody else into their life. I'm committing them over to you. I'm handing them over to you. It doesn't matter if I'm not the one that gets to pray with them to receive Christ. That would be nice, but you know what? If that's not going to happen, that's fine. All I want to know is that this person has the opportunity to hear the gospel free of any grudges, free from any hindrances, free from any tainted relationships. How many of you know that it's just inevitable? You have some relationships in your life. They're never going to get better.
Amen.
No, you didn't like that one.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is there's some relationships that once they get tainted, they cannot recover. You just have to move on. You're not accepting this reality. And some of you are chasing after things and chasing after people. You're wasting time. Oh, I'm talking to somebody this morning. You're wasting time. Pray for God to bring somebody else in their life. Commit them to the Lord. Now, don't walk out of here today and say to your spouse, I'm done with you. Jesus spoke through, Pastor. I'm done. No. That's a covenant that supersedes everything else. I'm talking about when you have a relationship in your life that it could even be siblings, it could be children, it could be relatives, it could be whatever, co-work, any realm whatsoever you want to put that person in. There are some times when you have to just commit them unto the Lord, move on, go next, pay attention to somebody else, give them over to Jesus, and let him bring somebody else in their lives.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Get out of the way. Get out of the way. Turn to somebody and say, get out of the way. Praise God. So, we talked last week about one of the most important scriptures in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. Let's go back to that. If you were not here, listen to me. If you were not here last, listen to me. If you were not here last week, this is extremely important. During these teachings, last week and today, are some of the most important opportunities for people to grab a hold of these biblical truths to start shifting you in the right direction for the future. Are you listening?
Yes.
Okay. Grab the reality of this scripture. It's just talking about Jesus. It's referring to him as the one offering. We know he is the Lamb of God who... Let's say it again, because you used to say it all the time with the little bells ringing. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Okay, that is not a cliche. That is not something that the priest made up. That is the truth. That is the declaration that came from the mouth of John the Baptist when he saw Jesus coming down the road. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away. Now, you and I, when we heard that, we think of bells. But when a Jewish person heard that, they immediately went to Passover in their mind. They immediately went to Passover in their mind. They understood that God gave Moses commandment, Moses gave commandment to the Israelites, that on a specific day, they were to take a lamb, amen? A lamb, they were supposed to hold it for 4 days. At the end of the 4 days, they're to slaughter that lamb, and that lamb represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the way they cooked that lamb, if you read the recipe that God gave to Moses, that you're talking about a whole lamb that had to be consumed entirely. Okay, you listening? I'm not just filling words here because I'm taking precious time right now to go off in this little thing here. If you got to cook a lamb in its entirety, that means with all its guts and everything, you cannot cook that lamb with the guts in it. You've got to split that thing open. If you want it to cook right, you got to open that lamb up. Look at me. That lamb has got to go on a spit. They would take a piece of wood and put it down the center, along the back spine of the lamb. They would take another cross piece, and spread that lamb apart so that it would cooked over the fire, it cooked in its entirety. And in order to fulfill the scripture, they would take the intestines and wrap it around the head of the lamb because the lamb had to be cooked in its entirety. Do you see the picture?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, us in this day and age, and especially coming from our background, when we hear, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," we hear, "Jing, jing, 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 jing," because it's time to take communion, okay? But when a Jew heard that, they immediately went back to Passover, the Passover lamb whose blood was taken and placed on the doorposts of every household.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Okay. Now, watch what the Lamb of God accomplished. Hebrews chapter 10. For by one offering, not every Sunday six times a day, by one offering, once and for all. If you read Hebrews chapter 9, 10, 11, you get the entire picture of Jesus being the ultimate sacrifice for our sins and for the sins of the world. For by one offering, who do you think he is talking about?
Jesus
did what? Perfected for how long? Forever. Who? Those who are? Watch this now. Watch it, because it's a process that, see that, perfection happened in a split second.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the being sanctified is this: being sanctified. It starts at the moment that you said, "Jesus, come into my heart. I believe that you're my Savior. I believe, I put my trust in you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins." That split second, the perfection took place. Your spirit, so only one third of you was perfected. Because we are spirit, soul, body.
Amen.
You're not just, and this aggravates me because a lot of teachers, even on television, they don't make a distinction between the soul and the spirit. Even we say sometimes, "Oh, what a service. We had 15 souls got saved." No, souls don't get saved. Souls get transformed. Spirits get saved.
Amen.
You are spirit. You possess a soul. And they live in a body. You got it? I'm just going to keep pushing this.
Amen.
Because it affects the way we see things. So now your spirit was perfected. That's why I said before, your spirit doesn't aggravate anybody. Okay? Your spirit's perfect in Christ. You cannot annoy someone from your spirit. When you annoy somebody, you're annoying them from your soul. Those unregenerate parts of yourself, the pride, the arrogance, the haughtiness, the unhealed portions of our soul, okay? You've ever heard, there's a book out that came out probably 20 years ago or so. I forget who wrote it, John somebody, I think it was. Here's the title, listen to the title, listen close. Hurt People, comma, Hurt People. I'll say it again. You getting this? People who are hurt will do what?
Hurt.
Will hurt other people. So in order to stop the hurting other people, what does that person need to do? They've got to stop hurting. They've got to get healed. Now, You don't use it as an excuse. Well, I was hurt, and this happened to me, and this person did this, and this person did this, and that's why I'm the way I am. No, you don't get away with that when you're born again. Or better yet, well, I was born this way. Okay, good.
Now you're born again.
So then you're born again. I'm born this way. Or, well, you can't blame me for the temper that I have because that's my family. It's your family. I said last night, if you lived in a house that was over a poisoned well, and all your life you're drinking out of this well that's poison, 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 poison. And a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. Once you discover that the well's been poisoned, what do you say? Well, this is the water I've been drinking all these years. I'm going to keep drinking it. Who would be foolish enough to do that? None of us, I would hope. So what do? Cap the well and move on.
Amen.
You don't keep getting poisoned by the well.
Amen.
Am I talking in a different language? Did I slip over in tongues?
No.
And all of a sudden you need subtitles? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now watch, the danger is, we live in a society that has been convincing us that it's okay to mistreat other people because you were mistreated. There's some point that you got to take responsibility for yourself.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
It took me many years to understand my father. I'm talking about my natural father, okay? I had to come to the place of realizing he did the best he could with what he had.
Amen.
But that didn't happen in 2 days. It took many, 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 many years. Many years. Now, the problem comes in those unregenerate places in our soul, not our spirit, not our body, our soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. The emotions are the trouble. The emotions are the one that will get you in trouble. Okay? It took me many, many years to realize that I needed to make a separation there. Now, the areas in our lives that are unregenerate are going to reflect whatever well you were drinking from. Are we getting this? Okay? It's automatic. That's why you say, you're just like your father. You're just like your mother. You're just like this. If somebody's going to say that, I want them to say that about my heavenly father. You're just like your father.
Amen.
My soul has got to start reflecting his fatherhood.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So stop this. I'll never forget one time, many years, probably 20 years ago. There was a person that was coming to church. I don't even know where they were. In fact, I think they passed away. So I could talk now. They're gone. They're in heaven. And if they don't like what I say, they've got to forgive me anyway. So this person, the worst thing you could say to this person is, how are you? Well, and I mean, I'm talking about not one time. Well, when I was 5 years old, this happened. When I was 10 years old, I'm like, oh my God, why did I even open my mouth? And so the insinuation there was, because of all this, that's why I'm the way I am. There comes a time, honey, listen to me, there comes a time when you got to throw the script away. I wish I had somebody in here who understood what I was talking about. There comes a time when you got to throw away the script.
Amen.
And stop with the excuses from the past. Look, well, you don't know how tough I had it. Bro, get in line with everybody else. Are you kidding? But the devil's got you convinced. Oh, nobody's ever gone through life the way you have. What are you, joking? You don't even ask the question anymore, who grew up in a dysfunctional household? What household is not dysfunctional anymore? I don't think there's ever been a house, even God's household. He did the best he could. He raised Adam. Adam, what does Adam do? Adam turns on him. This is God.
Amen.
So there comes a time you got to go, look, the dysfunction part is everybody's life is dysfunctional. Why? Because dysfunction, especially for a Christian, you're not dysfunctional in your spirit. Your spirit's perfected in Christ. If there's dysfunction there, it's in your soul. Something's damaged.
Yes.
Something's been bruised. Something's been wounded. And you're not going to get healed until you come to the place of repentance. Well, Pastor, that makes it sound like it's my fault. Well, some of them were your fault. Some, let's be honest, some things we were victimized. We had no say whatsoever. Somebody did stuff to us. We were raised in a household that they were doing their own to do their best they could, one nostril above water, okay? And that's just the way it is, okay? Your responsibility and my responsibility is to understand. I've been raised this way, whatever it is. I've been exposed to this, and that. I've had these words spoken over me all these years. Now it's time for me to shut the door on that. Are you guys getting this? Shut the door on that, and for me to now receive a new flow of information that is based on the Word of God that is going to slap in the face what was previous so that my soul can get repaired.
Amen.
Okay? Your spirit came alive to Christ, but your soul needs to be transformed. That is the process of repentance. And you cannot be transformed unless you receive new information, flush out the old stuff, and put new information in.
Amen. That's right.
That's why when you got born again and you changed, the people around you said, oh, you got brainwashed. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wash the rest of it. Wash it. Here, put the hose in. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Now, what's our life? You go to the cemetery. You go to the cemetery. You see two dates, right? You look at a tombstone, you see two dates.
Yes.
One date, first date is what?
Born.
Date of birth. What's the next one?
Death.
What's in between them?
Dash.
A dash. You want to know what the dash is? Being sanctified.
Amen.
For the Christian, the dash is being sanctified. Born here, born with sin nature, at some point got born again, and then the dash, from that point on, from that date until that final date, is the process of sanctification. We could say it this way, is the process of transformation, where I'm transforming from being a whatever to being more and more in the image and likeness of God. Okay? You got it?
Yes.
Okay. So, we're doing good here this morning. Romans chapter 12. Now, don't sit there and go, because I sensed this last night, especially if I said to you, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, there's always going to be somebody in the crowd that's going to go, oh, I know this scripture. I've heard this scripture preached a million times over the years. Well, let's put it in the context of what we're talking about here, because this scripture now, I'm just like you, read it a million times, especially in 39 years, 40 years. But all of a sudden I went, wait a second. This is talking about repentance. Watch this now. Therefore, I urge you, I urge you, I urge you. If listen, look at me. If you have to urge somebody, that tells me that it's not automatic that that person is going to want to head in that direction, right? If I say to you, listen, I'm urging you. Mike, where are you? Right there. When you go to somebody's house and they've contacted you, they want to buy a water filter, they want to buy a whole filtration system because they understand. When you go there, you probably have to urge them, not strong arm them, you have to urge them by doing what? You got to tell them the importance of why it's better for them to use this system, right?
Absolutely.
But you don't beg them. You don't beg them. Now you urge them. You say, you create a sense of urgency. Like, hey, listen, do you realize what you're drinking? Do you realize what the fluoride's doing to you? Do you realize what those other stuff? That's what he's doing. He's going, guys, brothers and sisters, I'm urging you to do what? To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, and what does it say there?
Pleasing.
And pleasing to God. This is New King James translation. Am I right? No, what is it, NIV? Okay. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. So it's written to us, yes or no?
Yes.
To do what? In view of God's mercy, in other words, he's being patient. He's being patient. And he said, I urge you to offer your body. Offer. Can I offer your body? No. Can you offer my body? No. Who's got to do the offering? We do. To offer your bodies as a what? Living sacrifice. God doesn't need dead sacrifices. Dead sacrifices were in the Old Testament just to get the blood out of the body to cover the sins. It never eliminated the sin. All it did was cover the sin. Okay? Are you guys getting this?
Yes.
To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, in other words, when you come out of the other side of that sacrifice, you're going to be living, you're going to be useful, you're going to be purposeful for God. Okay? Holy, set apart, and what? Pleasing to God, which is your true and proper worship. Another translation says, which is the most reasonable thing that we can do. Why? We don't want to just get born again. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Going to heaven, but the people around you are wishing you go right away. Because your soul is aggravating people. The untransformed parts of your personality, our mindsets, our thought process, is causing strife and conflict. The unhealed parts of your soul are causing awkwardness at best. Okay? You're not able to forgive, not able to love, not able to socialize. You ever meet people that you're like, oh my God, you can't even talk to this person. Do you ever meet people like that? Of course, nobody in here, but you might know somebody. Verse 2. Look at this. This speaks of repentance. Look at this. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Look at me. The world system has its way of doing things. The kingdom of God has its way of doing things. Which system do you think is going to benefit you more? But we all have remnants in us of the world system. You listening to me? I came to Christ at 27 years old. I wish it would have happened 10 years earlier. Because from my 17th year to my 27th year, was if there was a purgatory, that was that 10 years. I would have saved myself so much grief, so much aggravation, so much just pain. But some of us, especially in this room here, you might have been 40, 50, 60 years old before you came to Christ. Now this is a new experience for you. Your default is going to be the world system. Even though your spirit's saved, are you listening to me? Yeah. The world system that you've been exposed to, that your mind has formulated patterns of thinking, you're going to have to be intentional. That's why we pay so much attention to our children and pay so much attention to youth and young adults. Because if they can start that process early on, they're not going to go through most of the aggravation that some people go through at a later age. Because what you automatically, the way you automatically knee-jerk response is almost always going to reflect the system of the world, even though your spirit's saved. Are you learning anything this morning?
Yes.
I'm learning stuff here. I'm learning stuff as we're going along. Okay, do not conform to the pattern of this world. So first thing I have to do, I have to recognize if I'm going to repent, if I'm going to come to God and say, I don't know what the heck I was thinking, but please, I don't want to stay like this. I want to change. I don't want to think this way. I don't want to talk this way. I don't want to act this way. Then I first have to understand, Holy Spirit, come and show me what is my default. What are the established patterns in my thinking that are, even though I'm going to go to heaven when I die, but right now I'm living hell on earth, and I'm making hell on earth for everybody around me, okay? We have a responsibility for this, and we need to be intentional about it. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. You got to be able to recognize, oh my God. Now, let me give you this illustration. This happened about 6 months ago. I think I used it. I don't remember when I was talking, whether it was, no, it wasn't last night, whatever. I don't know. Oh, it was Entrepreneurs Group on Friday morning. Six months ago, previous to that 6 month period, about 2 or 3 months, I started watching a particular show on Netflix. Okay? Now, there was no nudity, it wasn't anything like that. It was just a lot of worldly thinking. Okay? And there were some particular characters in this particular series. How far do I want to go with this? Because I don't want to tell you, because then you'll go start watching it and get influenced the wrong way. But it was a series about lawyers, okay? I don't know what it is. I think if I didn't end up in the ministry, I would have went to law school. My wife told me, oh my God, you should have been a lawyer. You're always picking everything up. whatever. So I'm watching. Entertainment. All right. And so all of a sudden, I had to make a decision here in the ministry. And I'm going through my mind, and all of a sudden, I went, oh, my God, I'm starting to think, well, what's his name? Oh, my God, I'm starting to act like Harvey. I'm starting to think like Harvey. And I caught myself and I went, oh my God, what? I said to my wife, I'm holding myself accountable to you. I don't ever want to watch this show again because that thinking has triggered something from my past, mindsets, ways of thinking. I said, and I almost made a decision in the ministry that would have reflected more Harvey than Jesus. Are you getting it? I'm not being real vulnerable and transparent here, okay? What happened? I had to recognize that I was starting to conform to the pattern of this world. Yeah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. It was all of a sudden, it was like, what are you doing?
Amen.
So we need to recognize those patterns so that we can repent. In that case, I had to ask forgiveness. Okay? Because I have to admit to you, again, being vulnerable, being transparent, there were times when I was watching that program, on the inside, I had a check, like, you got no business watching this stuff. You shouldn't be watching this stuff. And I'm just like you. I overwrote it. But this episode is a good one. After this one, I won't watch it anymore. But by that time, the damage is done already because the stinger went right in my soul. Okay? So what? So now, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. You got to recognize the world system that you're operating in, your soul. Okay? And let me give you a hint. If your first response to any kind of conflict in a relationship is revenge, you're thinking like the world. Yeah. And even the passive stuff. What do they call that? Passive aggressive? Yeah. Where you're smiling and you're loving the person, but all the time you're plotting their downfall. I love you, brother. Come here, let me hug you. Now, what is he telling us? What is he urging us to do? Number one, do not conform to the pattern of this world. So for me to change from the pattern of this world to the pattern of the kingdom, I've got to let more information come in that's going to flush out the other garbage. Okay? So you can't be closed-minded. That's where metanoia comes in. You remember that from last week? Metanoia is the word for repentance, for change in Greek. Meta, change, noia, the mind. You can't change your mind if you're closed off to everything. Are you listening? You can't change your mind. I heard this Jewish comedian recently. It was so funny. He was talking about his mom and dad. Dad's 87 years old. He said they spent thousands of dollars on hearing aids. The father refuses to wear the hearing aids. So the son said to the father, Dad, what are you doing? You can't hear. You're missing. He goes, I'm 87 years old. I've heard everything I need to hear at this point. Especially from your mother. So I urge you, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but, say but. Be what? Transformed. Now, what do you think that word is in Greek? Metamorpho. Where we get the word? We talked about this last week. Metamorphosis. Now, the transformation part is harder than not being conformed. Because you see, when I recognize I'm starting to think like Harvey, it didn't take me but a split second to realize, oh, this is not good. The incentive was there. But it's harder to agree to transformation. It could be painful. Especially when God, has God ever asked you to forgive somebody that deserves to be hanged?
Yes.
Okay. That's not easy. That's not easy. It's easy to recognize where you're wrong. It's harder to make the transformation. It's ugly. You might even become a person temporarily that is not nice because you're struggling, you're going through this stuff. Okay? You listen? Now think about the process of metamorphosis for a butterfly. That disgusting, ugly, slimy, hairy caterpillar has to get itself away. Sometimes it'll find a leaf and take the leaf and wrap itself around like you. Sometimes you want to go home and you go, I'm disgusting. I'm a disgusting person. I hate myself. You want to get away from everybody. You don't want to talk to anybody. You go into this period of isolation because you're struggling with guilt and condemnation. You're struggling with the reality that you're not perfect. You're struggling with the reality of, oh my God, I didn't even know I was capable of doing that kind of stuff anymore. So you're struggling with that stuff. So you want to get away from everybody, just like that caterpillar goes and finds a leaf and goes, and just closes itself inside of a leaf and then starts whatever it does. I don't want to see it because it's probably disgusting. Starts exuding this disgusting, slimy, snotty substance that encapsulates itself. So now it's developed this cocoon, and you go into this isolation cocoon, and then it's like, now it's like, God, please, I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't even want to talk to anybody. I don't want anybody to see me like this anymore. Okay? You use sweatpants, you're not washing your face, you didn't even brush your teeth for days, all this other kind of stuff. Right? Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. So, but what happens then? The pain. But then all of a sudden, one day, revelation comes. It's like God comes and puts his arm around you. Go, all right, come on, it's enough now. Just let me work the process through you. And then you come out of that season and you're like, man, I feel like a totally different person here. That's repentance. That's transformation. But watch now. Watch. Now, he tells us what the goal is, transformation. But then, thank God, he tells us how we do it. My mind has got to be what? Renewed. I've got to accept and receive new information from God, from his word, telling me this is who you really are. This is what you're capable of. This is the hidden potential that you've been carrying all this time. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. All right. Let's go. I want to take you to one of the incidents that's recorded for us in the Gospels. I think this is an amazing, amazing illustration of repentance, of the changing of the mind so that there can be a changing of the heart. Okay, we're going to talk about Zacchaeus. How many remember Zacchaeus? Who was Zacchaeus? I can relate to Zacchaeus because he's a short guy, little guy. Okay. Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector. Not just a regular tax collector, he's the chief tax collector. In other words, he's the guy over all the other tax collectors. In other words, he's getting a cut of what everybody else takes. They're thieves, they're corrupt, They're taking advantage of the people. He's taking advantage of the tax collectors. He's making money. In other words, he's way up there. What do you call that with a multi-level? What?
Pyramid.
Yeah, it's a pyramid thing. But what do you call it? He's on the up. What do you call that? No, yeah, you're thinking it too much. What do they call it? Upline? What do they call that? Upline. It's upline. In other words, everybody's producing, he's getting a cut of each strata, okay? That's Zacchaeus, okay? Watch what happens, okay? Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, that's good. Jericho. Jericho is always symbolic of transformation. Why? Because Jericho is the first city they encountered going into the promised land. That's where the walls had to fall down. Look, oh, this is so good. The walls of your mind have got to fall down so you can let information come in. Or else you're not going in the promised land. All right? So Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Next verse. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Now this is pretty cool because I love the way God has a sense of humor. Zacchaeus means pure and holy. The chief tax collector. The head of the IRS department. who was a chief tax collector, and he was what? Rich. Next verse. And he sought, now watch this now, there's something in the rich tax collector on the inside that's been saying to him, something's not right. Something's not right. You're not living right. You're not handling things right. And so he sought to see Jesus. Now God, he tells us in the word that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So he's going out of his way. He's being intentional to see who this Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short. He was of short stature. Next verse. So he ran ahead. He's intentional. He's determined. He's going to see Jesus. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree, which is not real tall, to see him. For he, Jesus, was going to pass that way. Okay. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. I'm coming over. I'm going to your house today. Get down here. Get home. Go prepare. I'm coming over. Okay? So he made haste and came down and received him how?
Joyfully.
Joyfully. Joyfully. Next verse. But when they saw it, they, the multitudes that followed Jesus, trying to trap him, trying to trick him, all the religious people, all the people who thought they had their act together. But when they saw it, saw what happened, they all complained, saying, he, Jesus, has gone to be a guest with a man who was a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. Chief tax collector. I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything, which we know darn well he did, if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold, four times. I'll restore. As much as I've stolen, I'll restore four times. Look at what Jesus says. Based on that declaration that man made, which required a major change of mind, this guy, for God knows how long, the Lord was dealing with him about, you better change your ways. You better change your ways. You better change your ways. This is not right what you're doing. This is not good what you're doing. You're not happy doing this because you were created for better than this. Okay? Zacchaeus, in the presence of Jesus, we don't know what Jesus said to him, but in the presence of Jesus, we could see that the Holy Spirit has been convicting him because the declaration that comes out of his mouth, I'm telling you right now, Lord, if I've stolen anything, which we know I did, I'm going to restore fourfold. Based on this man's, look at me, based on this man's change of mind, Jesus observes now a change of heart. And what's the declaration that Jesus makes about Zacchaeus? Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he also is the son of Abraham. Amen. We don't know what Jesus shared with him. All we know is Zacchaeus responded. He was already being set up. He offered himself as a living sacrifice to Jesus. He realized, I can no longer conform to the system that I've been living. We have no indication that there's been any talk of his sins, Jesus dying on the cross for him. We have no indication of any of that. All Jesus had to go. He wasn't like the thief on the cross, Lord, remember me today. No. All we see is that Jesus observes, man, this guy has completely changed. Amen. And made the declaration, today, salvation has come to this man's house. Amen. You got this? Yes. Watch this now. It's not based on anything else, but the fact that Zacchaeus changed his mind about money and how to acquire it. God always starts someplace in our life. Doesn't end there. He starts with something in our life. The trouble with us is this, that once we get healed and delivered and set free from that one initial thing, we think that's it. It's just a starting point. Now, do not mix up being sanctified with your eternal destination. Your eternal destination is not dependent on you being sanctified. Your eternal destination, your salvation, is dependent upon who is Jesus Christ to you. Are you listening?
Yes.
But the process of transformation is what causes us here on the earth in this life to become more and more a reflection of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now, what do you think is going to be more effective in you reaching others in this life? Them seeing the old you or them seeing the new Jesus through you?
Amen.
Can you give me 5 more minutes?
Yes, sir.
All right, you two stay. Everybody else can go. Can you give me, seriously, can you give me, because I can finish this. Okay. Hebrews chapter 12. If you don't understand this portion of Scripture, you're never going to hear repentance. And we're not talking about repentance from somebody who's lost to get saved. We're talking about repentance of someone who's already saved to be able to run their race, their plan of God in this life. Watch. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, okay, that cloud of witnesses is people, okay, all right, in heaven. Could you read these next few words with me nice and loud? Let us lay aside every what? Weight and, say and, the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Stop there. Stop there. Okay, watch this now. Let us lay aside. Lay it aside. Okay? But hear my heart. There are some things you're not going to be able to solve. There's some things in life that you go through with people you're not going to get resolved. You just need to lay them aside. You cannot let them any longer. Look at me. You can no longer let them be the center and focus of your life. Because there's some people that go through life obsessed with this one thing that this person did to them. You're not going to resolve it. They're not going to change. You could stay up day and night. You could pray, fast for 100 years. They're never going to come back and say, I'm sorry. Some of them have died, and there's no opportunity for them to come back and say, I'm sorry. So what are you going to do with that thing? You're going to keep tripping over it? What are you going to keep tripping over it? Because every time you try to make progress, you come in contact with this thing, and what are you doing? You're tripping over it. What does he say to do? Get it out of the way. Lay aside every weight. Now say this with me. Weight and sin. A weight is not necessarily a sin. A weight is a problem that's insurmountable that we just cannot wrap our heads around it. Let it go. Move it out of the way. Every time it tries to throw itself in front of you again, no, I'm not falling for that. Get out of the way. But you don't understand, Pastor. No, I don't have to understand. The Holy Spirit understands.
Amen.
There's some things you're not going to get resolution. You just got to let it go. Move it out of the way because it's killing you. Anybody? Am I talking to myself this morning? Okay. So what do you do with that thing? You lay it aside. Now, I'm not saying now if there's opportunities to get healed, opportunities to get resolution, opportunities to clear the air, you do everything possible to do that. But if you recognize this thing is not moving, then lay it aside. Just move it away. Move it away. And just go on. Go on. Now, that may cost you. You may have to separate yourself from family. You may have to separate yourself from friends. You may have to separate yourself from people that are going to always want to put that obstacle back in front of you.
Amen.
But you're not going to run your race if you keep tripping over it. So you got to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Easily ensnares us. You realize that you have to do that? You have to make the decision. No, I'm not. I'm not going to think that way. I'm not going to talk that way. I'm not going to act that way. I'm going to tap into the power of God. Well, how can I do that, Pastor? How can I do that? I tried to do that, and I just don't have enough strength. I don't have enough power. Yeah, because you're trying to do it in your own strength. Let's go to verse 2. Here it is. How are you going to lay aside every weight, and how are you going to lay aside every sin? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God is not just thrown in there. It means he's got the victory and he's now seated. That's it. Amen. It's done.
Amen.
So how are you going to lay aside every weight? You're going to look unto Jesus. You're going to tap into his grace. How are you going to lay aside every sin? You're going to look unto Jesus. You're going to ask him for strength. You're going to receive grace. You're going to receive strength. Can we go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 real quick? I didn't have that in my notes, but it just dropped in me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Praise God. Look at this. Let us approach God's throne of grace with what?
Confidence.
Confidence. Confidence in who? In me or in him?
Yeah.
In him. So that we may what? Receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What is your time of need? When you realize, I've got an obstacle. I've got this weight. I've got this thing. I got this baggage. I got this thing. I got this backpack full of lead. I got to get rid of. I got to get this thing off of me. Why? Because I'm expected to run my race with endurance. I've got to finish the plan that God has for my life. And as long as I keep carrying this weight, I'm not going to make it. As long as I keep getting ensnared by this sin, I'm not going to make it. How are you going to do it? You're going to approach the throne of God with confidence in him. The throne of grace. So that you receive mercy. Again, you've heard me teach this in the past. What does mercy get applied to? Mercy gets applied to my past, but grace is available to me for my future. Mercy is when I've already screwed up. Grace is to help me not to do it again.
Right.
You need both. Look at me. You need both. And go before him with confidence. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. For 10 years I've been trying to study, and I keep going back and keep going back. That's fine. I'm not telling you have confidence in you, but have confidence in him.
Amen.
Are you getting this? Yes. We receive mercy for what we've done. We receive grace to strengthen us so we don't do it again.
Amen.
You getting this?
Yes.
Okay, it's late. We got to go. If you need prayer for anything, come on up. If not, God bless you. Go enjoy the rest of the weekend. Take your car. Leave the parking lot.